from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome to Postcard from Botbred on a historic day in radio, which will become ever so clear in a couple of minutes' time. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tattery Mountains, and they are bathed in sunshine this week. Absolutely glorious, in the town of Poprad, in the east of Slovakia. And it's just, can you not tell I'm happy? I am so excited. I haven't been so excited since... No, I better go there. Down in Spain. That's me. That's Lee Banks.
Hello. I'm not happy. I'm depressed. And it's 38 degrees here. We are melting as we speak. And I've hurt my back swimming.
Well, that's your fault. If you will do exercise, what do you expect?
I know. My mother told me never to do exercise.
It's bad for you.
It is. I'll tell you what, I can't walk. I am so fit now that I'm crippled.
Oh, my word. Anyway, Rachel's off at a wedding this week, so we wish everybody lovely times, all wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's about as much as we can get from a Lee and Eric, having been married more than once each.
Not to each other, though.
Oh, that doesn't bear thinking about.
What, if we were married? I think that would be a lovely relationship. We would be like proper married couples. We wouldn't do that SEX thing.
No.
But we'd go to the pub together and sit in silence.
Well, that we could... No.
No.
What, me and you?
Oh, cause, yeah, because you won't shut up anyway, will you?
Anyway, got to say hi to the guys at Talk Radio X over in the States, Replay and Breeze and everybody else, and those that are starting to join us on Windows 8. Lovely to have your company. Why are we so excited this week? Today is the official launch, courtesy of The Radio Magazine. If you look that up on the internet, www.theradiomagazine.co.uk, who graciously gifted us some pages in there to talk about the wonderful new Windows 8 app, which is what we're going to do in a couple of minutes' time. The magazine's out today, the day we are here in the studios.
And I've seen it. It's really good. 3 pages, eh?
So do take a look for it. If you're not a subscriber to The Radio Magazine, you can go to the website. So it's www.theradiomagazine, or one word, .co.uk, and you can look at the PDF, and you'll see us. Leg. I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing. But the good news is, and I'm so proud from some of the comments I've got already from it, from one, and I won't call him a veteran, I will say he's definitely one of my peers in radio, who says that what we're launching today, we'll discuss that with our young Chris, who organised it for us in a couple of seconds' time. What we are launching today will revolutionise radio. Not my words, somebody else's words. Chris, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, Chris.
All right, Chris.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Very good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're okay.
Brilliant.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Chris is from a youth organisation. I'll say youth because they're all very young fellas and much cleverer than me and Lee. A youth organisation called Derp Studios. They're all members of Train to Game, which is a gaming company that teaches youngsters how to make games. Which sounds a bit odd because we're talking about revolutionising radio at the moment, but this will all become clear because there's a word that's been, it was very much overused in the 90s and certainly in the noughties, a word called convergence. And convergence is really happening now, where the skills that guys learn at Train to Game can now be applied to radio. And everybody's thinking, what, you're playing games with the radio? No, we are not playing games with the radio. We are doing something completely different. Enter Chris. Chris, before we start, tell us a little bit about you. How did you start in games?
That's going back a couple of years. I started, I registered and applied for the design course at Train to Game. Mm. And after plodding on with my course, they started announcing game jams, and I went to the Epic Games and Train to Game game jam, and was one of the winning teams. Well, yeah,
that was one of only the XL Centre, boys and girls. Not XL, the National Centre in Birmingham, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Like the biggest, the NEC. That's the one, Chris. Thank you. Look it up on the internet, boys and girls. He's in the NEC now at the Gadget Show Live show.
Yeah, that was 2012.
Oh, flipping heck!
That's only 2 years ago. I was there.
I know, but we don't remind anybody of it, Lee, for obvious reasons. So yeah, so you got there, Chris. What happened?
Well, from there on, the team developed an iOS game for...
That means Apple for the rest
Apple,
of us.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, an Apple mobile game called Dire Consequences, based off the Fighting Fantasy franchise by Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone, who also founded Games Workshop.
He's name-dropping now, boys and girls.
Yeah.
those are two of the gurus of the gaming industry, trust me on that. Right. So then Derp Studios came together, yeah?
Yeah, that is how Derp Studios came together, through that Make Something Unreal Live at the Gadget Show.
Right. So, but you must have had a background in games before. Did you, you know, play games as a kid? Is that how you got into it?
I was very much a very avid hardcore gamer.
So basically you sat in your bedroom playing games whilst your dad was shouting, Christopher! and you were just ignoring him because you got your headphones on.
Pretty much, yeah, and it's still like that with my partner as well.
Your poor dad.
A gamer, always a gamer.
Yeah, your poor dad. So then this guy called Eric Wiltshire gets hold of you and says, I don't want you to make a game, I want you to make a radio app.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Now, you can be honest. You can be honest, Christopher.
Okay.
What did you think when I first said to you, that's what I want you to do? You can say I was mad. That's okay.
I was just thinking, okay, this isn't a game. This is a bit unusual. I've never been asked to do anything like that before.
Right. And so what happened within your... In other words, you thought I was barking mad, didn't you?
Yeah, just about.
So, your team got... I mean, there was various conversations went on. What did your team say to you?
The team were really confused. They were just like, a radio app. It was like, but we've got the main project going. I was like, yeah, but I don't know. I need to talk to, like... I had a chat to the programmers.
Yeah.
And, I had a chat to my... I needed more programmers because I was, like, running low on programmers at the time, and I needed to kind of split a few people off into the radio app anyway.
Yeah.
It turns out it only needed, really, one artist and one programmer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had a chat to the programmer. He said, oh, I can have a go. And in the end, it was quite a simple project, really.
So after all that, the whacking idiot's a simple project. I like it. right. So then collectively we all spoke to Microsoft and everybody else.
Yeah.
And it was decided to put it onto Windows 8. What was the process like getting this brand new application onto the Windows 8 store and equally Windows mobile phone as well?
Despite the teething issues we had with getting our programmer familiar with, because he used to program on Windows 7, so he was just making adjustments to using XAML properly,
right?
Which is one of the new code, well, the coding language that they're using alongside the other.
Sorry, Lee's lost everything that you're talking about, Chris, but don't tell him. He'll sound authoritative, but trust me on this, he is glass-eyed right now.
I am glass-eyed at the moment. I am doing something to do with this at this very instant.
All right, then, go on then. Anyway, so yeah, you then had to publish a thing onto Windows, yeah?
Yeah, it was actually, well, for the Windows, there was a lot of criteria to cover, but we managed to get there in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that quite well on the Windows 8, the actual computer one. For the mobile one, it was actually quite a lot easier and nicer as well. It wasn't as bad as we thought it would be, but yeah, we did come up with a couple of errors, but the errors we did get, we were heavily supported by the by the support team at Microsoft. They were really good.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful.
In fact, they're probably the best support team I've spoken to.
Brilliant. There you go. Yeah, so marvellous. So basically what you've made then is kind of a one-size-fits-all application, because, and I'll put it into words that others can understand.
Okay.
Basically, in gaming speak or design speak, you made a wire framework, yeah?
Yes.
Now, the wire framework, girls and boys, is kind of like the chassis of a car. So once you've got the chassis, you can put the bits around it. And what Chris and crew have done is make the chassis so that small community stations, internet stations, all the new people, the little people, can get to an application very quickly and very affordable as well, Chris, yeah?
Yeah.
That's the basis, isn't it? So
yeah.
You've done all the techie work's done. Now you can take, like, their pictures, their players, and literally people can walk down the road with their Windows 8 phone, just like a Walkman radio of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah. It should,
I think that's a really good description, actually, yeah.
It's just literally reskinning.
Reskinning. You've lost you've lost him again now.
Oh, okay.
I'll do
that has all sorts of meanings to me.
No, I'll do a car analogy for you again. So reskinning is rather like giving a car a respray.
I did understand that.
Right, okay. Well, it's kind of like that, isn't it, Chris?
I think that's a really good analogy, and I think the analogy that we made earlier would make it really clear, which is this is almost the equivalent to transistor radios in the 60s. That's the effect that it should have on radio, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's all your guys now. You've got this template made, and the criteria is any station can now get this to go onto Windows 8, providing they're a little one, isn't it?
Well, anyone. It can be used for anyone.
Yes.
But little people, little stations will be able to benefit from it the most, I think.
Well, they're getting your priority.
That's
the way of doing it. So, okay, if you want to have a look at this, if you're in the radio industry, we'll have a look at it, because this is a wonderful app, Chris. It really does work well. And I think the best place I've tested it so far is on a mountaintop.
I
remember that, yeah.
When we were doing the testing, ladies and gentlemen, we spent quite a long time, literally about a month actually, testing this everywhere and in the most difficult of situations. And the mountaintop I was on, you cannot get a radio station on the radio. There just isn't any. And yet, RTI came booming out through the mobile phone network via Chris's app, and it just worked. It literally just worked. And it was so simple. And I would also add, it's kind of so simple. Your grandmother could use it, couldn't she, Chris?
Yeah, very, very user-friendly.
Well, not me.
I wasn't suggesting you're a grandmother, Lee, but if it fits, fine. Now, Chris, how do we... I'll give you the... Radio Magazine have been wonderful to you and done a huge spread on it, looking at it from the point of view of a transition of radio over into the digital age, but making it available to everybody. Thank you to Henry. Thank you to Sarah for all their help at the Radio Magazine. But further than that, how do we find out about Derp Studios, Chris?
You can find us, we've got our website, www.derpstudios.com, and there's Facebook, which is facebook.com/derpstudios.
Now, let's get the spelling right, because it's D-E-R-P Studios, isn't it? All one word.
Yes.
Good. Can I just ask a question? What does Derp stand for, is that not broadcastable?
Well... It's now in the English dictionary, apparently. Apparently, yeah. But,
you're kidding.
Originally, it was because... Well, Derp came about because it was just... It was a meme on the internet for quite a while, and it still is, really. But it's because we were so new to the games industry, and we kept making really noob mistakes or mistakes. Yeah, novice mistakes.
No, Chris, they were Derp mistakes.
Yeah, we kept saying Derp. Yeah, we derped it or something like that. So, yeah, it ended up as Derp Studios.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I'm sorry, I've wanted to ask that forever.
Have you?
Well, now you know.
Now you know. So let's go back to the beginning. www.derpstudios.com.
Yep.
Facebook.com/derpstudios. And have you got pictures and information about the Derp radio app on there as well?
What, on the Facebook?
On the website.
On the website, yeah, on the website we do.
Okay, and the other thing is, if it's a radio station wants to get in touch with you, can they just email you, Chris?
Yeah, we've got the email address radio@derpstudios.com.
That's easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that?
We've got several other email addresses as well, but radio is, if you want to get in touch, go for radio then.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Chris, I think it's a wonderful thing that you've done. I'm sure this thing's got an awful lot more applications over the coming months. I think we should say thank you to everybody at Microsoft who's been helping us out, because they really have been fantastic.
Yeah.
And also the nice people, again, at the Radio Magazine helping us out as well, which is wonderful. And all I can say is wish you great success with the project, Chris. And I have one final question. We know it's the launch day today.
Yeah.
Today. Have you had any inquiries yet?
I had two yesterday, actually, which is before the launch day. So yeah, I had two inquiries.
And you've already got some stations signed up to make apps as well.
Yes.
Because what happened, ladies and gentlemen, is the PDF file went onto the Radio Magazine website, and people were picking it up from there. So absolutely amazing. Chris, it's lovely to hear a young group who've already got orders in to build something which will make a difference, but B, give you a chance to get a little company going as well, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Love to everybody at home, especially your dad, Chris, and we'll see you soon. You take good care.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, my friend. Take care, mate. Bye-bye, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Chris Ledger from Derp Studios, the man whose team have put together the RTI Windows 8 app for us called the Derp Radio app. Details on our site as well, and, of course, on our pages and the program information. You'll get all of it there if you didn't see anything. It'd be on Facebook as well. So there you go. We're now broadcasting on the Windows 8 platform. Oh my word!
Amazing. Can I have something to say on this?
Yes, you're very echoey today, darling.
It's because I'm in this stupid room with my broken back, isn't it? And it's all made out of marble. Oh, that sounds like I've died, doesn't it? It sounds like I've been laid out.
You have. Regularly
laid up.
Right, regularly laid out by your missus.
Listen, now I've got something serious to say on this Derp thing.
What?
It's really, really good.
What?
I just want to say hello to our friends. Right, you're listening to this, Eric.
Yes.
Right, you ready?
Yes.
I just want to say hello to our friends at the Belfast Telegraph.
Right.
Who have actually expressed an interest in this matter as we were on the air.
Blimey.
Absolutely.
Blimey.
You thought you'd like to know that?
That's a bit weird, but there you go. Yes, of course. Well, you know all the journalists, don't you?
It's a good paper. The Belfast Telegraph is a very, very good paper. I've never worked there.
Right.
But a very good friend of mine, Paul. Such a good friend, I can't remember his
surname. Marvellous.
But he's called Paul.
Hello, Paul.
All right, mate,
yeah.
He moved out there.
Yeah.
He used to be on the Bolton Evening News, of all places. And he moved out there, and he's turned the paper around. It's a fabulous paper. I don't know what its sales are, but I know it's really good.
Right.
And it's got a lot of respect. And, yeah, they're genuinely interested in what we're talking
nice
about
one.
And
Absolutely.
Would like to see some details of it.
Brilliant. Well, hello to Paul over there. I'm just wondering, is he from Bolton originally?
He is a poor lad.
Well, how the hell does anybody in Northern Ireland understand him?
Well, he starts to talk like this, doesn't he? So it's, any Irish are going like this. So it's all like, it's all very weird. It's just like a different world. It's like the aliens from the what we'll be talking about later.
Probably. Hang on. We've lost Chris, and I need to bring him back.
Oh, Chris, come back.
Oh, Chris.
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo, Chris. Yoo-hoo, Chris. We want you back. Hopefully Chris is going to come back. You still there, Chris?
Hi.
Thank you, goodness, Chris. For that. We need you to talk about something in a minute because you're the expert. Former radio presenter Tom Vernon, who was known as the fat man on the bike, has died at the age of 74.
See, there's still a place in recording for you, Eric. Only you need to get a bike.
Oh, I've been thinking about that, actually.
What, getting a bike?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I want one with an engine.
Well, you can get those, and you can get them with the like stabilisers. Oh, what about one of those three-wheelers?
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll be all right.
Tom is probably better known to so many people as Radio London's first presenter, and he was just a wonderful character. He was.
He was a good egg, wasn't he?
He really was. Chris, I'm going to bring you in again now, because I don't know if this guy's one of your heroes, but he's probably got to be in the sort of list of peers in gaming, because Mr. Yamauchi, who was the guy that transformed Nintendo into the world's massive video game company that it is, has died at the age of 85 years. He ran the firm for 53 years and was its second largest shareholder at the time of his death. Rather sad for you guys, Chris.
Yeah, it is really sad. Yeah, he revolutionised the industry. I'm not old enough to remember when Nintendo made their transition, because the console came out before I was born. Mm. A few of their products did anyway.
Yeah.
Or when I was really young anyway. But yeah, I just remember playing it in my early childhood.
What's the, in the games industry, because you must be around the forums and Facebook pages and stuff like that, because I'm sure that most people on the high street won't know, but I suspect in the games industry, people are sort of passing comments about his passing, aren't they, Chris?
Yeah, loads of people are. My Facebook feed is filled with mostly games industry stuff anyway, and even like the people that do funny pictures had like a moment of silence like for him as well.
Really?
Yeah, he's very well respected, and even people that aren't big Nintendo fans are basically saying a thank you to him as well, because without him, the games industry wouldn't be where it's at today, really.
Well, actually, I'll tell you a quick Nintendo story, because I was at the launch of the Nintendo DS when it first came out. And there was a bunch of journalists sitting in this, I suppose, PR company come media centre in the centre of London. There was some Japanese fellas wandering around who all were sort of bowing courteously and the rest of it, and we were just being journalistic oafs, really. But the game we were given to play with was Blow Football. And, of course, in the DS, you can blow into the little hole and move things around. And I was sitting there looking, and the PR girl came over to me and said, Eric, why are you just sitting here? I said, this is absolutely amazing. And she said, well, I'm glad you liked it. Do you want to come and share your views? I said, no. She said, why not? I said, because this story, I'll bet you nobody's picked up on. And she said, what is it? So I explained the story to her. So she said, goodness. Hang on. And she went over and to get Mr. whoever it was from Japan, who was at the time the number two in Nintendo.
Okay.
And he comes over, and I said, get me another Nintendo DS. Turn it on, we'll connect together. I said, now, you pretend, sir, that you are totally paraplegic. Totally. You cannot move your arms and legs. Put that Nintendo where you can blow into it. And he said, why? I said, because we'll play blow football. I'll be the able-bodied kid, and you will be the paraplegic kid. And he went, we haven't thought of that. We haven't thought of it. And they genuinely hadn't.
Really?
Yep. And as a gift, I've got a very low serial numbered Nintendo DS in my apartment.
which I was
given, and I'm not going to put it on eBay either. But that was one of the, I think it, if that explains the thought process of Nintendo, where things were done back in Japan, but not everybody sort of saw it outside. But you can, with a lot of their devices, an able-bodied kid can play against a disabled kid, and they've got a level playing field to play on. And that's
and, that's, and that came out of Nintendo.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Or,
as Chris said, which I thought was very sweet, oh, bless.
Yes. So, are there any other people that are kind of respected like him to the same level, Chris?
I believe there are. He was definitely one of the, well, grandfathers of gaming, really.
That's a nice way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, there are many other people that have revolutionised the industry, old and young. Hideo Kojima from Konami, who did the Metal Gear franchise, is definitely among some of the great people that's innovated gaming as well, with the use of missions and different ways to go about them.
Yeah, Chris, can I keep you on and just change the subject a minute?
Yeah.
Because we often think that gaming is Japanese, basically, whereas in truth, Great Britain is quite a clever company in terms of gaming, because Grand Theft Auto, which came out this week, is British, isn't it?
I believe so. Well, they've got Rockstar North and one in Scotland, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah. So Rockstar North. I mean, the original one, if I remember rightly, was written by somebody in England, if I remember. And this week, Grand Theft Auto has come out. In the first day, it pulled in £500 million.
Oh, I envy them so much.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah. That is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, so
ridiculous amount of sales.
So they've outsold The Who. They're probably selling more than Shakespeare and Elgar and all the rest of them put together. And it started off as a tiny little company. And Chris is right, in Dundee back in 1997. Tiny little company.
I think it is amazing because, you know, you know how, as I am officially known as a Luddite as far as Mr. Wiltshire is concerned. and one reason is because I have a certain amount of culture in my soul, like most writers and journalists do. And I've written on all sorts of cultural things. But it's being said now that Grand Theft Auto is a British icon up there with Shakespeare and Elgar. And I've got to hold my hands up as a pundit that I agree entirely. It is incredible. And Britain is famous now for its attitude towards the gaming industry, for getting itself stood behind the gaming industry.
Well, I've got to finish because we're at the end of part one, Lee, already. But Chris, I'd just like to say one thing to you. Might not be Grand Theft Auto, but respect for what you're doing. It's lovely to see young people going into an industry which needs more young people. And I know you guys have to study in your own time and have jobs as well. So I take my hat off to you. Thank you very much, because you guys are probably the people that will produce the next Grand Theft Auto. So thank you for doing it, mate.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right, Chris. Chris, we'll love and leave you. See you again soon, mate. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Chris. That's the end of part one of Postcard from Pop Rad for this week. We're changing the world. It's amazing.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.